message of grace is brought to you by Christian people who believe the Bible to be the Word of God and who appreciate its power and authority. Within the pages of the Bible itself, there is a God-given design for its study. Rightly dividing the Word of truth is the key to understanding the Bible. We're glad you've joined us for another interesting look into God's infallible book as Richard Jordan, president of Grace School of the Bible, presents another in a series of messages designed to help you understand and enjoy the Bible. Let's join them now.
Well, we're glad that you're with us today, and we trust that our time together will be a blessing to you, that as we look together into the Word of God and try to learn some wonderful things about God's wonderful grace. It's fascinating to go through Romans chapter number 3 and study God's grace. And that's where we're at in our studies together. We've been looking at the book of Romans now for some time as we progress week by week through the issue of the divine edification of the believer in the dispensation of grace. Paul's epistles give us a system, a clearly defined design for the edification of believers. One of the real sad things in the life of a believer is that you get saved, you trust Christ as your Savior, you have all of your sins forgiven, you have God's life given to you, and it's Christ living in you, and then all of a sudden everything seems to go haywire. Instead of the life of Christ really living in you, there begins to be this conflict inside between the old way you used to live and the new way that you thought you were supposed to live and gonna live. And the conflict gets in there, and pretty soon there gets to be this turmoil. And pretty soon your life begins to tell you what you were afraid of all along, and that is that, boy, you're not really able to handle all this stuff. And you begin to try to live for the Lord, and you try to serve Him, you know, and you go to church, and you get all the stuff that the preachers say to do and everything, and pretty soon you just feel burdened down with serving and going and doing. And you know, when you get that way, and you're laboring and are heavy laden, you're just ready, really, to understand about God's grace. Because what grace does is it lifts the burden. And what the Word of God rightly divided does is it takes away the confusion that comes from the performance system of the law. Legalism is the enemy of grace. Legalism is a performance system whereby you have to perform up to certain standards and certain codes and certain rules in order to get God's blessing. Grace is the opposite of that. Grace is all that God has provided for you as a free gift in His Son. And probably the greatest exposition of what God's grace is and has done for us, found in all the Bible, is the passage we're looking at today in Romans chapter number 3. Beginning at verse number 21 and down through the end of the chapter, you ought to spend some time this week. Let me encourage you, whether you're a believer or not, get a Bible. Especially if you're a Christian, get a Bible and commit in your mind, in your heart, to learning Romans chapter 3, verse 21 to the end of the chapter. If you'll do that, you'll find that God's Word will begin to take root in your life and begin to bear fruit in your understanding, and it'll transform your thinking. This is a great passage on of teaching and exposition and explanation about all that God has accomplished for us at the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 3, verse 21, he says, "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. But now with this now time revelation committed to the Apostle Paul, the righteousness of God is manifested in a brand new way without the law. It's witnessed by the law. The law and the prophets tell us we need it. We need God's grace. What does the law do? By the law is the knowledge of sin, verse 20 says. By the law, our mouth is stopped and we're made guilty before God. The law says you're a saint, points out our condition as sinners and tells us we need something other than what we can do. And that's what grace is. You see, the law point tells you can't. Grace says that's okay because God already has provided it for us. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all. It's for everybody. And upon all them that believe. It's for everybody, and it's possessed by those that believe. You say, well, this grace is for me. Yes, how do I get it? By believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's unto all them that believe. For there's no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now that's great news, isn't it? But that's a fact. You see, the ground is level at the foot of the cross. There's an old gospel song that says, the ground is level at the foot of the cross. No man stands higher than I. I can call on Jesus' name, and a king can do the same. The ground is level at the foot of the cross. That's Paul's message. That's the message that we preach today from the Word of God rightly divided. That's the message of God's grace. And the first side of that is not real good news. That is, the ground's level. We're all sinners. We're all sinners. The best of us, the worst of us, we just stand there in the same, there's no difference. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You can look around, you can always find somebody that you're better than. People go to church, you know, they look around the crowd at church. You can do the same thing at a ball game. You can do the same thing at a PTA meeting. You can do the same thing at a political rally. Look around you in a crowd, and you can always find somebody and say, I'm better than that guy. Look at that guy. I'm better than him. Or I'm better than her. But you know the problem with comparing yourselves among yourselves, the Bible says they that compare themselves among themselves are not wise. And the reason for that is if you can find somebody in the crowd that you're better than they are, the problem is if you keep looking, you can find somebody in the crowd better than you. So you didn't help yourself. That's the problem. Because we're sinners. But God in His grace has provided the answer. And the answer is not shifting the blame off onto society or the government or somebody else, mama or daddy or the teacher that spoke rashly to me and mean to me and that kind of stuff. The issue is not shifting the blame. The issue is not denying it, calling it by another name, you know, changing it. We've got that thing where we take sin and change its name and think by changing its name we're going to change its character. And you don't do that. You just deceive yourself. The Bible says your heart's desperately wicked and deceitful above all things. Who can know it? Well, you can't. If you don't have the revelation from God, you wouldn't be able to understand yourself. Because your heart constantly would deceive you into thinking you're all right when you aren't. Or it's somebody else's fault that you aren't when it's really your responsibility. You see, if you can be responsible for yourself, then you have hope of doing something about it. But if you're not responsible for your problems, if you're not responsible for the condition you're in today, then you're just a helpless victim. You know, we live in a day when everybody's trying to look and let the government take care of everything for them. It's amazing. Well, you watch Eastern Europe and you watch the communist socialist world just fall apart. They've had 70, 75 years of having the government do it for them. And what's happened? They're in a mess. In America, the land of the free and the home of the brave and all that business, now what's the philosophy today is let the government do it. What's the government going to do to solve the problem? The government isn't going to do anything to solve the problems. Anytime the government goes around to solve the problems and give you liberty, they're going to put chains on somebody. You watch. The only way to solve the problems, folks, is if you're responsible for yourself. Otherwise, you're just a helpless victim. You're just a slave. You're just a victim of what happens to you. And all you can do is wail out against the victimization, but you're just going to be a victim. Well, who wants to be a victim? Somebody says, well, I'm going to throw off the shack. No, you're not. You're just going to be victimized. Until you can be responsible for yourself, that's all you can be is a victim. Now, if you're responsible for yourself, then you've got the capacity in your hands to do something about your situation. That's wonderful. That's liberating. But you know, folks don't like that responsibility. To personally be responsible. Well, that's what God's grace does. It allows you to be responsible for your sin because God has provided the answer for you to receive. That's why it's not such, it's bad news that we're sinners, but in another sense it's good news because the Bible says this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. You know, if you weren't a sinner, Jesus Christ couldn't save you because He came into the world to save sinners. So although it's bad news that I'm a sinner and that the wrath of Almighty God would fall on me because of it, it's actually something good to know, because now I know that I qualify to be one of those whom the Lord Jesus Christ came to save. So verse 24 says, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And I want you to see that. We're justified freely without any cause in us by His grace through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus. The grace of God is based upon, and the grace of God comes from, the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. In other words, when Jesus Christ died at Calvary, and you got to kind of get the picture in your mind. Jesus Christ goes to Calvary and He dies there for your sins. God takes our sin and places it on the body and the soul of His Son, and Jesus Christ dies at Calvary. The wages of sin is death. So what does Christ do? He dies. He pays the wages of sin. Now here I am over here, and I look to Calvary, and I say, there, that's not His death. He's dying. That's my death. I'm the one that should have died. I'm the one that should have bled. I'm the one that should have suffered. And when I trust Him, as I look there and I claim His death as mine, then God Almighty saves me, and His death at Calvary becomes me dying there. Now, God Almighty up here looks down from heaven, and He looks down here to see me. Now, the grace that God has for me comes from the cross, comes from Calvary. And God Almighty looks down here to see me. You know where He sees me? He sees the cross, then He sees me. He sees me in the merits of what Jesus Christ accomplished there at Calvary. Now, I'm included in it too. Jesus included me. That's mine. And everything Jesus Christ did here belongs to me. And I have redemption in Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ dealt with sin completely. So much so that I can be declared the righteousness of God in Him. Romans chapter 4, verse number 25, He says, who was delivered up for us all. He was delivered up for our offenses. Because of our sin, God delivered Him. He went to Calvary to pay for our sins. He who was delivered up for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Jesus Christ, when He died, completely and totally put away sin. The wages of sin is death. Now think. You have to think about this stuff to understand it, but it's wonderful and it's not hard. If the wages of sin is death and Jesus Christ died, that means He paid the debt for sin. God raised Him from the dead. What does that mean? That meant death couldn't hold Him. But now think, if the wages of sin is death, if the debt of sin is death, and Christ dies, for death can't hold Him, but He's resurrected back to life, it means that He's put away all of the sin. If there had been one sin that He didn't completely and totally pay for, God could never have resurrected Him. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is like a receipt that says, paid in full. And because of His resurrection, testifying to the fact that what He did at Calvary is finished and final, the finality of the work of the cross is demonstrated by the reality of the resurrection of Christ. Because of that, He's resurrected so that all of our sin has been put away, and God then is free to declare us righteous in His Son. He looks down through the blood, sees us, and declares us in Christ to be righteous. God made Him, the Lord Jesus, to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Now that's God's grace, and that's what God's grace does for us. It provides for us the salvation and the redemption that we need. That's why He says we're justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Justification, being declared righteous, is by grace. All that God is free to do for us through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus. It's also declared to be by blood. You notice verse number 25 in Romans chapter 3. He says, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood. Romans chapter number 5, verse number 9. He says, much more than being now justified by His blood. The blood of Jesus Christ. The payment that He made when He put away our sins. Grace is the source. The blood of Christ is the basis upon which God can give us the gift of His righteousness and all the other spiritual blessings. It's all based on the fact that Jesus Christ, when He died at Calvary, put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. But justification is also said to be, in the passage, by faith. That's the means whereby you can obtain it. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 3:28, therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. You see the issue, it's by faith that it might be by grace. Romans chapter 4, verse 16 says, faith is the only response that grace will accept. Come with me to Romans chapter number 11 and notice this. This is terribly important to understand. And I know what people do. They take these Bible words and they make religion out of them. I know that. They take these Bible words and they make religion. They take grace, for example, and they make that into some kind of sacrament and church ordinance and ceremony. I had a guy call me up recently. He'd been watching one of our television programs. And he called me up on the telephone and he says, Brother Jordan, I need one of those dispensations. And I said, what do you mean you need one of those dispensations? He says, I've sinned and I've got this sin that I've committed and I need a dispensation for my sin. I said, what are you talking? Come to find out, this fellow had been raised in a religion and a religious system that gave away dispensations. That is, they gave away special opportunities for people to sin and permission for them to sin in certain kind of situations. And he had committed this sin and he wanted some kind of ecclesiastical dispensation that allowed him to sin with impunity. You know what that is? That's religion taking a good Bible word and doing devilment with it. That's foolishness. No such thing as that. That's the religious system taking a good Bible word and making something out over here that hadn't got anything to do with what the Bible says about it. Well, the word dispensation doesn't have anything to do with that in the Word of God. And I'll tell you something. I refuse to give up the Word of God because religion takes and does devilment with the words out of it. You need to get in the Bible. The Bible sets its own standards and its own definitions for terms. It hadn't got anything to do with religion. And that just shows you the difference between what the Word of God teaches and what religion teaches. Now, if you got a religion like that, what you need to do, it ain't worth a dead horse. You need to get rid of it. You need to let what God says in His Word be the thing that is the standard. And anything that comes along and plagiarizes the Word of God and then twists it and corrupts it into something that hadn't got anything to do with anything is something to avoid. They do that with the word grace. They make grace works, you know. Well, you get God's grace by doing this work. No, you don't get it. That's a gift. Don't get that by working. Faith. They say, that's a work, you know. I was raised in a religion, folks, that taught me that the way you believe was you went and worked. You did something to believe. And it's nothing of the kind. Faith is the only response grace will accept because faith is the only thing you can do without doing anything. Because faith is a non-meritorious sense of perception. It's a way of knowing something. It's not a work. And if it's a work, it isn't grace anymore. Romans chapter 11, verse number 6. If by grace, then it's no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. And if it be of works, then it is no more of grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. If it's grace, it's grace, it's not works. And if it's works, it's works, it's not grace. And you can't put the two together because they are mutually exclusive. God made them that way. Romans chapter 4, verse number 4. He says, now to him that works is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. And you know that. If you work for something and you go put the money down on the table and you pay for it, nobody gave you a gift. You earned that. You bought it. It's yours. You paid for it. It's work. If it's a gift, then you don't pay for it. Otherwise, it isn't a gift. Now to him that works is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that works not, but believes on him that justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. When you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, your faith is counted as though you shed the blood yourself. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. I'm sorry, 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. Verse number 21. The Apostle Paul says, for after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. Now listen. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. There's a lot of discussion in religion about how you get saved and who saves you and what's God's part in it and all that. Let me tell you something. That verse tells you what the sovereign free will and pleasure of Almighty God is about your salvation. It pleased God. Here is the sovereign free will of God. God Almighty, I mean, if He's God, then He's absolutely sovereign. There's nobody tells Him what to do. And His sovereign free will is declared to be by His divinely inspired Word that through the foolishness of preaching, He's chosen to save them that believe. You know what the sovereign free will and pleasure of Almighty God is? That when someone believes on the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, you know what He does? He saves them that instant. You know what Paul said to that Philippian jailer when he came? He said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And he said, believe on the Lord. There it is. Jesus. There He is. Christ. There He is. Because justification is by grace. We're justified freely by His grace through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus. Believe on the Lord, the sovereign, the one who freely gives the gift out of His own sovereign pleasure and free will. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, being now justified by His blood. Jesus Christ is the one that went and paid the price. God the Father laid the plan and chose to have the plan, designed the purpose. God the Son comes and sheds His blood at Calvary so that you might have the opportunity to have the righteousness of God in Him, His blood. God gave the blood as the payment. Not just His death, His blood. That's the character, the sacrificial nature of His death. He died as a sacrifice and a payment for your sin. Jesus Christ didn't die as a martyr to show you a new way to God. He didn't die as somebody to come along and help you. We got a song we sing, Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Religion comes along and sings that. Jesus paid a part, and I a part, you know. Sin had left a crimson stain. We washed it white as snow. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. My friend, when you try to start washing the stains of sin away in your life, you'll wash and scrub, and all you do is just make it bigger and broader and messier and more nasty. It'll never happen. Come now and let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they should be as white as snow. Isn't that wonderful? You know how you get that? You get that through the blood of Jesus Christ. That's how you get it. And then he says, believe on the Lord Jesus. It's a faithful saying worthy of all acceptance Jesus came into the world to save sinners, Paul said. Matthew chapter number 1, he says, thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He saved His people from their sins. He shed His blood. Then he says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Anointed One. It's by faith, being justified by faith. Faith resting in what Christ did for you. Faith, resting in not in what you do, but what someone else accomplished and did in your behalf. Now, Romans chapter 3, when he talks about being justified, the basic issues about grace, listen, you got to get this down clearly. Grace is all that God is free to do for you. It's all the blessings and the completeness that He's free to give you in Christ through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus. It's all based upon the blood that Jesus shed for you at Calvary. It's all based on the redemption that's in Christ. We're going to study the doctrine of redemption in the weeks ahead, and you're going to see how that Jesus Christ came to pay the price, the ransom for your soul. As it were, He went into to the hock shop of the universe. And there you were hung on the hock shop of life's wall, the wall of the hock shop of life, and you had a little tag on you for sale. And He said, "How much?" And the keeper said, 30 pieces of silver, and He laid down His life for your soul. And it's by faith that it might be grace. You see, grace is based on the blood of Christ. It's received by faith. The only response grace will accept is your faith and confidence, resting in what God has done for you in His Son. I hope you've trusted Him. If you haven't, you need to today. And if you have, you need to stand fast in the righteous liberty that God has given you in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to have these truths work in your life as you, by faith, rest on His Word, so that the Word of God can work in you that believe. These truths liberate you. This is the foundation orientation to God's grace, all that He's done for you through the Lord Jesus Christ. Get a hold of it and let these things be the basis upon which you live your life in Him. Study with us next week, will you? Until then, Maranatha.
Thank you, Brother Jordan, for that message from the Word of God. Friends, we have a cassette tape that you'd like to have to go along with today's study. The tape is entitled Grace Basics. It's yours free of charge. It's our way of saying thanks for listening. We'll be happy to see that you receive your free copy along with a free subscription to our monthly Bible study, The Grace Journal, if you simply write us here at The Message of Grace. The address should be on your screen. That's The Message of Grace, Box 97, Bloomingdale, Illinois, 60108. If you prefer, you can also call us during normal business hours at area code 708-529-0520. Request tape offer number 221. That's tape offer number 221. The Message of Grace is a ministry of Grace School of the Bible, and we're glad you've been with us here today. If our study together has been a help to you, we're happy to put you in touch with a Bible study in this area where the message of God's wonderful grace is proclaimed from His rightly divided Word. And friend, if you're still not sure of salvation, that your sins are forgiven, and that you have eternal life as a present possession, let us know. We're happy to send you some gospel literature that will show you the way. That address again is The Message of Grace, Box 97, Bloomingdale, Illinois, 60108. Thanks for being with us today, and God's best until we meet next time for another Message of Grace.